Welcome to the Figure It Out podcast. My name is Emma.
And I'm Natasha, and we're so excited you guys joined us for another episode.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a really fun episode because basically we're talking about 24 different things all in one little pocket of time today.
Yeah, so Emma's birthday just passed, and she was 24 in the year 24, and if you don't know Emma, her favorite number is 24.
Yeah, okay, so I will say, I recently was like, man, I've really liked the number 24 for a while. Like, I have elementary school memories of liking the number 24, so that's not, it's not like it's a new thing. But I just was thinking, like, man, I sure talk about liking the number 24 a lot lately. Like, I feel like it's gotten so much worse.
Well, I think part of it is because, though.
Then I realized, oh, I am 24. It is 2024. Like, there's reasons why besides just me, like, growing in like of the number 24. Because, like, how much can you really like a number? I don't know,
but this podcast will help us answer that. No, we thought it'd be fun. When I turned 25, we did, like, an episode on 25 things to know before you turn 25. And mm-hmm. It was just, like, a fun way to think back over the year, but also, and years, but also, just, like, a really quick way to go through life and, like, talk about a bunch of random things.
Mm-hmm. And share a few stories along the way, mm-hmm. go on a few rants, and share some things we've learned. So, it's my turn to do this now for 24 things I learned while being 24. I have actually, this list was very easy for me to write in the fact of, like, I just came up with a bunch of things, honestly, throughout a day and a half. I was just like, all right, I'm just going to write down every time I see something or remember something. So a few disclaimers is I think I'm missing a lot. Like, I know I am because there's a lot of things a part of the year that can't be encapsulated into 24 things. B, this is the most random order of a most random list, and like I was like, should I strategically order these? And I was like, no, like, because why? And so I just want to say those two disclaimers first. And I also just want to say, like, 24, I don't want to wrap, like, this is not my reflection of 24, trust me. I can do that later. But there is so much good in being 24, and I don't think these 24 things really encapsulate it at all. In fact, I know there's not, there's so much unsaid that I just, like, can't even just, like, put into a little podcast, but, like, it was such a good year.
Yeah.
And I'm also going to give one more disclaimer. Sorry, I've just been disclaiming this up. I still have a few more days of being 24, actually a few weeks of being 24, and I'm so nervous I'm going to miss something that I should have had on this podcast.
We can come back. We can re-record. We can add that into here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm really, like, wow, I only have a few more weeks of being 24, and I just really want to live them up. So if I experience something more, maybe I'll share that on the Instagram or something.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
If you guys want to follow us and keep up with us on Instagram and kind of have some in-between podcast stuff, that is M and Tosh on Instagram, and we'd love to have you follow us there.
Yeah. So without any further ado, here we go on Emma's 24 things that she learned while being 24.
Yes. All right. Number one, remember, this is in no order, but this one came to mind pretty quickly, was how to invest money in a way that I want to. Because I am not interested in watching, like, the market and the stock market and trading and day trading and whatever that may be. You went through a little spurt of doing that.
I was going to say, a very little one that was, like, Doge related.
But I remember that and just being like, I'm so not into the idea of doing that. It mm-hmm. sounds stressful. And I'm not coming at people who do that. I know you probably make a lot of money doing that. I don't know. But, like, this year I learned how to – so, therefore – okay. Backing up, that was my version of my vision of investing.
When I had to, like, invest in the market quickly,
yeah,
type
and
of thing.
Follow things and make fast decisions and watch things be green and then green again and regret, and, like, that was just, like, what I thought investing was, and it sounded so stressful to me. And I've really learned that, like, that works for people. Some people, I think also I'm not a financial person, but I've learned to just do it in a way that really is just easy for me, and I know it's going to pay off. Mm-hmm. And we're talking very simple accounts like Roths and money market accounts and stuff like that. But I'm just so happy with the fact that I'm, like, doing something with my money now instead of just, like, putting it in an incredibly low savings account that buys me, like, a gumball a quarter. And so that's been really good, but I don't have to have the stress of it. And some people enjoy it. I just don't.
No, that's totally fair. I think that's a really important thing if you want to invest, because it can be so daunting. And if it's something, like, it is an overwhelming thing to do, and if it's something that you don't want to do, or if that's, like, a stressful thing, you're going to push it off more and more.
Right.
Or it'll be hard to invest. Mm-hmm. So I think that's wise.
All right. Well, because we have to cover 24 things in basically the next 24 minutes now, we can't dwell on anything too long.
Granted, no, this is a little fast.
Yeah, granted, this next one is pretty short. And I have learned in this year about double shampooing my hair. Do you know about this, Natasha?
I've heard discussions of it. I used to do it.
Okay, you don't anymore.
No, but that's not to say that it isn't good. I recently switched shampoo products, and so I do think there's a lot to having like the right shampoo or the right process for it for your hair. Mm-hmm. But I used to double shampoo my hair and not conditioner it.
Whoa, okay. I know. Well, I was just talking to a roommate and another friend actually about double shampooing, and they recommended it, and I was like, what? Like, and they were just saying, like, oh, it cleans it a lot better. You can notice a difference. And I was like, no chance. It's like, why would I double shampoo? Like, shampoo is supposed to do its job in the first place, which, like, I believe that still. Like, it should just do its job the first wash. Why would I have to do it twice? But it actually makes a huge difference. And I don't do it all the time, and I don't think you're supposed to. But every once in a while I do, and you notice a difference even when you're, like, sudsing it up. I don't know what the right word is, like lathering it in. But I think I notice a difference, or like maybe placebo is a thing. But double shampooing my hair is something I learned about in the last year.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Did you notice a difference when you double shampooed but not conditioned? Did you need conditioner?
No, I don't. It was a while ago. It was in high school. But I think it like helped in the moment. Mm-hmm. I've been recently using shampoo that has no sulfate in it.
And
it's very weird because it doesn't sud. Like, there's no bubbles at all. And so, but it's a lot healthier for your hair and, like, your skin. And I was like, all right, I'm going to try this. And typically, this could be, like, the one time I do a brand, like, ad. But typically when I've tried no sulfate hair, I think that's the right word, or, like, whatever it is that's unhealthy for you, it doesn't really feel clean afterwards. Mm. But this is the first time I found a shampoo and conditioner that actually – like feels clean and doesn't seem to be like gross, but it's a weird sensation to like lather your hair but not have any lather.
Yeah, that is interesting. It's like conditioner then.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I would say, honestly, I don't know, or I don't know if I've been able to notice because you recently dyed your hair. I don't know if anyone or not many people know that because it's not, it wasn't drastic.
No.
I think do you want to share that on the podcast?
No, that was a secret. Just kidding. It was a test to see if people really observe things.
Well, you've had like 2 months now.
No, I don't think anyone. It's like such a subtle change that most people didn't notice. It was funny though. I had someone at work who like, she's like, is something different with your hair? And like, just kept looking over at me and then finally asked it, right? And she goes, is your hair darker? And I was like, yeah, it actually is. She goes, I could not tell. She's like, I just kept looking and being like, is it wet right now? I just don't know. She's like, but it wasn't wet. But yeah, I recently dyed it back to my natural hair color.
Yeah. So I guess I don't notice a difference, or your hair is different. So I don't know. I don't know. They kind of correlated when you got the same. So
yeah, anyways, a little bit.
That's my reaction. We got to keep going.
We do.
All right. And this next one, I feel like maybe I need to explain a little more, but I've really learned this year that not every friendship looks the same, comma, and that's okay. And that's actually really good. And I couldn't have a million Natasha friendships, but I have so many really sweet, good ones in like the uniqueness of they are. Mm-hmm. I would say this past year, I've gotten a lot closer with my high school friends again in a different way of I've seen them a lot more than we did maybe when we were in college. And that's been sweet, but it's also not like now we're seeing each other every week and we're catching up all the time. But I think it's kind of a group of five of us, has grown a little bit this year, which has been so fun. Or the other day I got coffee with another friend and we were there for 4 hours and that was so good. And we left and we're like, we'll see you another few months. Like, it's just like, this isn't going to be a all the time thing. Mm-hmm. And like, that's okay. I don't need them to all like be the same. And then also conversely, like, I can't have that kind of friendship with you. Like, that's just not how we would operate. And I don't want it to be like that either. And our friendship looks different than any of the relationships in the house. And I don't know, that's everything looks different. Every friendship kind of requires something different, but it's also so okay. Mm-hmm. And like, there's such greatness in the uniqueness of that.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like it's a really freeing thing to realize because there can be so much pressure to like measure friendships based upon like what you find successful in a different area. And it's like, really good to just say, like, no, this is how my relationship with this person is, but that doesn't mean that it's a failure if it doesn't look like that with someone else. Mm-hmm. Or that, like, I'm not being prioritized by them or vice versa, they're not by me.
Yeah.
And it is just a freeing thing to be like, okay, I'm going to invest in this person in this specific way and, like, be really joyful in that.
Yeah.
I think this next one, I'm going to say for you because I totally agree.
Yeah.
But number four is that we should have gone to the Taylor Swift concert.
I hardcore regret this. I really do. And it wasn't, it's like it's growing in regret.
Oh, that's so sad.
I have major FOMO.
Do you think this is your biggest regret of 2024? Uh-uh. Or of 24?
I know what my biggest regret is.
Oh, okay.
We ain't sharing that here.
That was fast. Okay.
But maybe my second.
Wow. I had so much fun when we went to see the movie. And so yes. If you didn't go see the concert, I will say, is it, because I think you can rent it or like the watch movie, it now.
I think it's available or it's coming really soon at Disney+. Yeah.
So I thought it was great. Granted, we went and saw it in theaters, which then you had like kind of the experience of a stage and all that. But it was so much fun. And it was just like, it looked like such a fun time. And yeah. I wish, I was technically in Colorado when everyone went. But I just, oh, that is a bummer. Like it looks so fun.
It just, I think, I don't know if I've shared this on the podcast, but like I picked up our friends that went. I picked them up. I don't know why I need to explain that any farther. And the minute they got in the car, I started feeling regret. They were just so hyped. And like, that was so epic. And that was so cool. I was like, man, like, I know she's overhyped. And I know, like, people all have their ideas on Taylor Swift. But, like, they just had so much fun. And everyone has been having so much fun. And now I see clips and I'm like,
should have been there. I could have been there.
Exactly. I could have. I bought these tickets for them.
I know. You did.
Because, like, I work from home. And so, you know, like, there was a whole queue. And I don't think this is when I was. This was when I was 24. So I can talk about it. Maybe it wasn't. It doesn't matter. I bought them for that. Like, I didn't buy them. They paid for them. But anyways, regret.
It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Every year is have a little bit of regret. And I do think if this is your second biggest regret of the year, you're doing pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to do more reflections once I actually get to the end of 24. But it's on there.
I'm just like picturing something else happening in the next few weeks that would be a bigger regret. That's so sad.
I know. Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Okay. Anyways, okay, what's number five?
Well, we're making it positive again, is how much I actually love Costco. And I think there was a while where I just talked about Costco a lot, didn't actually like it. And now I just truly do. Guys, I think I went to Costco there was one weekend I went 3 days in a row.
That is ridiculous.
I know it is. And I think I'm playing into it a little bit. I have to like self-reflect and be like, all right, you like Costco, you talk about it. And now, like, you're inflating it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many products that I want to, like, endorse now. And that I truly like. And I just actually find enjoyment walking through the aisles of Costco and seeing what they have to offer and being like, I'm in a grocery store warehouse, but I could buy a chest freezer for $200, and that's my newest want.
Well, honestly, I have been looking for, like, a big mirror, like a floor-length mirror, and, like, they have these really beautiful ones, but apparently Costco sells some.
I think I sent you that.
Oh, well, maybe this is where it came from. Mm-hmm. But I just was like, oh, I would have never thought of getting that at Costco, but that might be where we get it from.
Yeah.
It might be where we get it from through you.
I looked for you the other day. It wasn't there, but that's the hard part about Costco is once something goes viral, people scoop them up and then they're gone. So now that I'm talking about this chest freezer,
it's going to be gone.
It's going to go viral because everyone listens to this and it's going to be gone. And that's the chest freezer is my new air fryer. Like, oh, I really wanted an air fryer.
No, you have to use the air fryer first.
I'm so scared too. But I really wanted an air fryer. I talked about it for a really long time. Got said air fryer. Had to move the appliance passion towards another product. And now a chest freezer from Costco. $200. That's not bad.
It's not. No.
So. Anyways.
Less than an air fryer.
I don't know. So. It's just crazy. If anyone wants to go to Costco, I will go with you.
And will you look for a mirror for me while you're there?
Always.
Okay.
Always.
And coffee.
Yeah.
I will say this is my one thing with Costco. I don't know if I'm completely sold on the Costco membership for where I'm at in life. But what I am sold on is having friends with a Costco membership.
I would be happy to be that friend to anyone.
Okay.
Oh. Also.
Well, but then if you have too many, do you think then you won't be able to be my person?
I have never said no to anyone who said, can we go to Costco? That's like literally someone mentioned that to me once and then they never pursued it again. And I texted them and said, hey, at one point you mentioned this. Let's set up a time. And we went.
Okay, that's good to know.
I don't know if I like made this comment to my parents, but I paid for our membership this year. And so I can't even be like I'm a Costco moocher because they are mooching off me this year. I've mooched off them the last few years. So, but yeah. So pretty proud of that.
That's really impressive.
And so, like, I'm truly, like, I paid for it, so I can't be like, oh, it's not worth it. Worth it. Like, I did.
You did invest. Yeah. And see, that's the one reason why I'm like, okay, Emma loves this so much. Maybe it is worth it. But I think right now, because I have you as a friend.
Right now, because I have you as a friend?
Because you might not have the Costco member. That's probably not possible. That would be the reason. Oh, my gosh. Let's move on.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Okay, we have to move on.
Yes. Number six.
All right. Number six has a lot more to it, I think, than Costco. But actually, no, because Costco has everything. Wow. Is to do as much as I can now. And I'm learning this in so many different aspects of doing as much as I can now, because there might be seasons in my future that I might not be able to. I think right now being 24 provides so much flexibility, as I'm not married, and therefore I don't have bigger expenses, or I don't have children, so I don't have those expenses. My time's not being divided by as many people, that kind of thing, where, like, to do as much as I can now in the terms of saving. Save as much as I can now, because maybe someday I won't be able to have as much expendable income. To spend as much time with my friends now before life just, like, pulls friendships and friend groups apart. I think we're in a really sweet season of, we have really dedicated friends and a dedicated friend group. And I love that so much. But I also know that even if it's not for years, that's gonna eventually fade away. And so to really just spend as much time as I can doing that now before things change, because they've already changed in the past 2 years. And, like, another example of, like, quiet time. And I have so many wonderful moms a part of my life through my church specifically. And they talk about how badly they crave just being able to spend more time with Jesus. But they're just, like, wrestling with that. But I also have kids that just need me. And that time isn't as easy as it used to be. And just feeling so much like, okay, then take as much as I can now, grow as close as I can to God now. And not that, like, spending time, just, like, abiding in Jesus banks up. Like, that's a daily thing. I will say, like, that's not just something you do once and then you're fine. But just to grow so close to God in this time, where when there's other things that are pulling me in different directions and other ways to serve and glorify God through maybe taking care of kids someday or something else, that I have spent time, like, with Jesus. I don't know. That's a lot different than Costco, but that's one of them.
No, I think that's a really wise thing, though, to recognize, because every year just gets busier and busier, and it just fills up more. And I think that you always look back and be like, oh, I had so much more time then, even if it doesn't feel like you do now. And I think that's a good perspective to have, is, like, don't waste it and be intentionally using that for, like, things that you probably won't be able to invest in the same level. Not to say that you won't care about them or it won't be a priority, but that it just will look different. Yeah.
All right, we're 1/4 done. Let's keep going. Number 7 is to not drink coffee on an empty stomach.
I do that every morning.
Which I actually, when I wrote that, I thought, Tosh does do this. And does it not affect you? Okay, well, it affects me, let me tell you.
I will say, though, I always have a little bit of cream in it. Otherwise, it hurts your stomach.
Okay.
So that's my only thing.
Yeah, I don't really. I can't add minutes of discussion after this one like I have been able to with other ones.
I think that's okay.
Yeah. Next one is to take people at their word. And when they say something, I think I'm still very much so learning this and figuring it out. But I've learned that I need to do that this year, at least. Of when someone says, hey, this is okay with me, I have to just trust that it's okay with them. And then also, like, do the same with others and to just say, I don't know, that's just so basic. Like, it's so true, but I want to get better at that. And just to take people at their word, if they say this, then that's what they mean. It's so elementary, but.
It is, but I also think it's something that can be so easy to really, like, truly understand and to live out. Because I think we always, like, second guess or worry or whatever and be like, but did you really mean that?
Yeah.
And I think it's really good to be like, no, people do mean what they say. Like, I'm not going around and lying to people of like, it's okay when it's not. Like, if I say something, I want that to be the truth. And so, I think then believing that people are being honest with you is important.
Yeah. All right. Next one is to use the notes app on my phone more. Or like, I don't think any app has made a bigger appearance, like comeback, glow up, what may it be, in my life than the notes app this year.
Really?
I probably open it, 15 times a day.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. That's maybe dramatic. I'm just going to go into my phone right now and see how many times I opened it today. So
while you're doing that, I have a question.
Yes.
Which is, after you write a note and it's no longer important, right? Like your grocery list. Mm-hmm. Do you delete that?
I do.
Really?
But that's because I'm so obsessed with my notes app now that I love just like going through it and working through it and whatnot. So I've opened it 9 times today.
Oh my gosh.
The other day I opened it 24 times. The next day what I opened are you it 15, writing down? Next 9, next 2, then I only opened it 1, 4, 18. I don't know. It's just, it's become so helpful. I just wrote down a bunch of days I needed to add it to my paper calendar when I didn't have it. That's my top ad. My next one, that's my top note. The next one is a question I have for someone. The next one is sugars I want to eat. I made the list when we did that no sugar challenge. And so I'm working on getting through and eating them all. A podcast idea, our hot takes, because I write them down.
Yeah.
Advice I've heard that I just like want to have written down somewhere. Movies I want to watch. Things I want to, there's some funny ones. Anyways, I had to stop at that one now. But yeah, love using the notes app.
Hmm.
It's like, yeah, it's great.
I have used it a lot more frequently, but not that many times. Mm-hmm. That's impressive.
Yeah.
All right, what's number 10?
Number 10 is how expensive insurance is for kind of buying nothing.
Yeah.
And that's not true because you are buying a lot if you need to use it. And so I'm not saying insurance is dumb and we shouldn't do it. Like, I very much so understand the concept of insurance and how it protects homeowners, car owners, your health, all that. Like, I'm not trying to say it's not a good concept. I'm just surprised by it. And it just takes up a lot of money to ideally never see the fruits of you buying that.
I think that's more the thought of, like, hopefully you never get back what you invested in a way.
Yeah.
Right? But I will say, so my thing with insurance isn't necessarily that you don't get back what you put in, but also that they try to get out of having to replace or cover what they said they were going to cover.
Yeah.
I don't know. This was kind of mentioned a while back. And so if you're newer to the podcast, over Christmas, my family and I were in a house fire where the cabin that we were staying at, which is a friend's cabin, burned down. Mm-hmm. And the insurance company, like, instead of like immediately offering to, you know, cover all this, went around and tried to like make our family pay for it because we were there. Mm-hmm. And it just was kind of like this thing where it's like, okay, all fires are started by an accident, right? And we don't know 100% where this fire started. But regardless, like, you are paid a pretty penny to make sure that if something happens to this house, you're going to rebuild it and cover the damage, right? And the cost of, like, all the things that were burned inside, right? Like, this home has been insured, and you've been paid a lot. And I just was so surprised that it's like, okay, that's going to be, like, the first way we deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is the biggest example that I've dealt with of, like, an insurance situation where it was, like, you were asked to replace this, and you, like, tried to avoid doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just kind of, like, that, I think, was even more frustrating because you're just like, okay, we've paid you so much money, and now you're trying to get out of doing it, even though this is your literal job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's expensive. Like, there's so many kinds of it.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that? There's so many kinds of it? Yeah, types. I mean, there's homeowners, there's renters, there's car insurance, and you can get anything insured. Yeah. I mean, I have, like, health insurance, vision insurance. Like, there's just so many kinds of insurance. So many. Okay, so that's just that whole, and it's this whole industry, and it shocks me. Anyways, so that's something I'm learning about. Next one is, I am learning patience specifically through printers. I know I've talked about how annoyed I get with printers, but they hardly ever do their job right the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Hardly ever. And, it's just annoying.
It is. I will say, I printing things at a printer here, like, is the worst thing ever. Even our office printer, I hate using. But printers, the people, like, I love working with our printer.
I do too.
It's one of my favorite things. They're the fastest people I've ever worked with in my life. Mm-hmm. Like, you order something, they're like, here's your copy. Yeah. And they deliver it to us. I've never met our printer.
Ours delivers too, and sometimes with warm cookies.
Oh.
And has my fourth favorite dog in the office.
See, I've never even been to our printer's office. See, I wanted to bring them something. Because I was like, I appreciate you so much. Yeah.
See, ours is right next to camp, and so it's easy for me to stop by. But and I want to go see Hanzo.
Yeah.
So I have ulterior motives for not having them deliver.
That's pretty great.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Another one that I wrote down as something I learned this year is because I wrote it down on a sticky note, and I, like, just stumbled upon it, and it was like, yeah, that is something I, like, I I was just so shocked by it, is there is always something happening. And it's okay not to be at it all. I've learned how to prioritize better. I think at the end of being 24, I started doing this a little more with our church has this class on Wednesday nights that I would really like to go to, but there's so many other commitments within a week and just like increasingly more where I'm like, it's okay that I don't go. And I actually had a conversation with someone that was like said something very similar, and maybe it was just like the whole like power numbers, but hearing them say that was like, okay, you're right. It is okay. It's not like I'm any less dedicated to this church because I've decided to use that night to do something else or to see other people or to record a podcast. Like, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. There's just always something happening, and that I don't want to just be busy all the time and running around and not doing anything super well.
Yeah. I think busyness is something that, I don't know, it just doesn't get easier as you get older. And if I were to say, like, the biggest struggle in my life right now is probably just busyness, where it's, like, I don't have time the way I would want for people, for God, for, like, just more, like, I don't know, to have more of a settled life, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Like, sometimes I feel like I'm always at a little bit of a frantic pace where it's, like, okay, next thing, next thing, next thing. And I just think that's something that can be so easy to get caught up in, mm-hmm. in our age and, like, with just kind of the season of life. Mm-hmm. But I've heard that it just gets busier, you know, and I can't imagine that. Mm-hmm. So if that's true, then I am scared for the future.
Yep. There's a quote that we hear from, I think it's becoming something that says, if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. And so I wrote that down next to, there's something always happening. Mm-hmm. And I wrote that underneath it, just like as I was processing how busy things are. Anyways, we are halfway through and we got a lot ways to go. So number 13, this one is really just for me. But is what to expect from my parents being grandparents if someday I have children?
How do you know this?
Because they got a dog this year. Actually, it might have been last year, but I've witnessed them being dog parents. I know that word.
They love that dog.
My second brother, Luca the dog, is just like adored. And I'm not really calling out my parents if it's overdone. I mean, maybe it is a little overdone, but like my mom has time. She's retired. She just is able to take care of this dog well. But if anything, I've learned that I surely do hope that they will love any children I bring into this world. It's just even close to as much as they love this dog.
A fraction, a little bit.
Because that just makes me so happy to know that they will care for any kids I have the same way they care for this dog.
That's pretty great.
Anyways. Like, I mean that. Like, I mean, it's like poking fun at them, but yeah.
But it's true.
Mm-hmm. All right, the next thing that I learned this year was an experience. I learned about the hype of the Minnesota State Fair.
It's just crazy to me that you hadn't been until this year.
I know. This was my first year going to the State Fair. It was through work. Like, I didn't choose to. And I learned about it.
What did you think of it? Was it worth it?
I don't think I had hyped it up in my head. Like, I was very much like, I'm not a fair person. So I think because of that, it definitely just met expectations. I think I went on one of, like, the lowest attended days. And if that was probably really good for me that I went on a low attended day. But it would have been interesting to see it at its peak.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't love the idea of paying to get into something that you just have to pay money for. Which That's is fair. Costco. So, wow. I'm shocked, actually.
It's true. It's really so true.
It's exactly what Costco is.
Wow. And you invite friends to go with you.
Oh, my goodness.
That's crazy.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. So,
that's actually really funny.
But, yeah. My favorite food is warm chocolate chip cookies. So, that was what we got at the end. After I finished the work day, we got warm chocolate chip cookies. And that was just so satisfying. So, it was good. I would go back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the State Fair, but I also think I like it because I always grew up loving, like, to go see the animals. And so I would do that, but we never, like, did the food and, like, let's spend money here. Yeah. So I just had such a different experience at the State Fair. Mm-hmm. We always did one ride, the giant slide, mm-hmm. and then we went and just, like, saw all the animals and watched the horse shows. And that was, like, our mm-hmm. version of it. But then, like, I know that some people go there just for the food.
Yeah, I don't know, like... And this is just, like, the fair. You walk around, but, like, there's not a whole lot to do, yet you're surrounded by a million things to do.
Yeah.
And it just, like, that complicates. That's complicating to me. anyway.
That's fair.
Minnesota State Fair. All right. Next. If you like something that much, just buy two of them.
Like the exact same thing?
I have two pairs of the exact same jeans.
Can you tell my sister that? Because she got so mad at me for buying three pairs of the same shorts in different colors. So they all look different. And I love the way they fit.
That's so justified. I love wearing black t-shirts. So I went and bought two more.
Of the same type?
No, I only have one more. So I have... Yeah, I have two of the exact same black t-shirts, and then I have another black t-shirt that's, like, more athletic-y.
Wow, that's really impressive.
But I also wear black t-shirts all the time. It's, like, yeah, that's your staple.
With the two pairs of jeans? The same?
Yeah. Jeans and a black shirt. I have black long sleeves, black t-shirts, black sweatshirts, black athletic shirts. Like, I'm just, like, that's my staple. And I was, like, oh, I want to wear my black shirt today, but I didn't. So I bought another $5 black shirt, and I don't regret it at all. And I learned that that was okay.
I think it's true.
Thank you. All right. Number 16, something we've talked about a lot in this podcast, so I won't dwell on it too long. I can run and I'm not a runner. That's one point, but it could be two. I can run. I did.
You ran all the way to Duluth.
And pretty much. And then I'm also not a runner in terms of I don't like it.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. I also think it's okay to know that after you run and to be like, mm-hmm. I don't have to keep trying this.
I might still run this summer. I'm still debating that in my head. Just like, I had a lot of like health benefits that I would like want again.
So. Oh, for sure.
And so I'm contemplating that. But
emotionally, do you think it was beneficial?
Well, what if some of the health benefits were emotional?
That's true. Yeah. Sometimes I just think back to how painful those runs were and like the thoughts I had on them. And I was like, I don't think that was good.
I think we'll see how it goes when I don't have a need to, when I can back out at any minute. You know, it's not like I have to do this because I have to run to Duluth in the end of the summer. So we'll just see.
Well, I will say running a little bit post-Ragnar, it was like so much more relaxing because I could just run more for the benefits of like my own like enjoyment and like the runner's high, right? But I didn't have to have the pressure of like I have to run faster. Yeah. I have to go further. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot better versus I think it was super stressful to push your body and not be like at the mark that you wanted to be and be like, wow, we have to do this in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
All right, what's number 17?
Number 17 is how to make a roux in the kitchen.
I only recently learned about this word even. I had to make a roux for something. I can't remember what it was.
I know that Natasha doesn't.
It's really good.
Homeschool people have such an extensive vocabulary. I'm learning that. That's something I learned in 2020 while I was 24. Anyways, I learned how to make a roux. It's a cooking thing that my mom taught me how to make. And I would be happy to teach you guys, but I'm not going to spend time on this podcast doing it because we are taking a lot of time and this isn't one we should
It's more
go
of
on.
A visual thing anyways.
Yeah.
All right. What's the next one?
The next one is the added layer of having a dog when it comes to travel. And I don't have a dog, but I've seen it played out.
You basically
out.
Do.
Yeah. But I've seen it played out. Actually, this one came up in my head because of dog sitting. Because I was like, what did I do when I was 24? That like I had it done before, and I house sat / dog sat for a family from my church. And they would be fine typically leaving their house, but they had a dog and a cat and hermit crabs and chickens. So actually it was...
Did a whole little farm.
It was mainly probably for the chickens and the dog. But I needed to take care of Sadie girl. So like I had... Like there's just like that when... We have animals. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just something to consider that I don't think is often as top of mind. And, like, now my parents, granted, they're not big travelers, but they would have to consider, well, actually, when they got Luca, a week later, they went on vacation.
Yeah.
Which is funny. But even you, like, you went to Colorado for a few months this past year, and I was, like, Brecken's primary caretaker. And anytime I wanted to go home, I was like, oh.
I have a dog.
Yeah, like... And I brought Brecken with me, actually, to my parents, and it went fine. But it's like, oh, like there's this thing, like you have to consider it that now. And like traveling and I don't know. So I was reminded of that. And I think I will continue to be reminded of that as Natasha travels more.
That's probably true. Mm-hmm. I will just say, no matter what you're doing, having a dog adds another layer of life. Mm-hmm. Just podcasting earlier, Brecken... We had to pause our podcast because Brecken decided that he was going to eat part of his plastic frisbee. And so digested, I'm pretty sure, a significant amount of plastic. And honestly, by the time this comes out, he could be dead. But Tosh. I'm so worried about him.
Yeah, I don't want to think about him being dead.
I know, and it's horrible. We try to even make him throw up, and then some of the peroxide got in his eye, so if he doesn't die, he might be blind. Oh. It was a whole ordeal. He didn't even throw up because I didn't get enough down his throat.
Yeah.
It's bad. Anyways, so I would just say having a dog complicates things. You get emotionally attached to an animal, and then they do something dumb, like eating plastic.
She was so mad at him, guys.
I was.
Mm-hmm. And like, it's so still weird. Am a little actually mad. We were recording. Did you say we were recording when this happened?
Yeah.
So I have like her whole reaction recorded
to him. And I was pretty like, mad.
If you don't die, I'm gonna kill you.
That's not the right response. But I'm so scared that he is gonna die.
I am too. I really am.
But I don't know what to do at this point.
I don't either. You keep asking me, what should I do? And
I was like, I don't know. Anyway, so if we have to postpone the release of this podcast in honor of Brecken, we will.
Oh, man. Well, honestly, though, Tosh, if he dies tonight.
That's so sad.
Oh, my goodness, but that's not true because he could get into another Frisbee the next day and the next day.
I know. But that's, he's like, so the hard part. Naughty.
About anyone, actually, but, like, animals and children and life is, like, life is so fragile.
It's so fragile. Oh. Anyway, so... love your dogs tonight because they might eat a Frisbee and die the next night.
Okay.
We should finish this so I can go be with him.
Yeah.
His final moments.
Okay. This next one, I'm going to just go into this next one and say it's very personal to me. But I figured out this year, something I learned was what was giving me such horrible headaches. Hmm. I don't know if you even remember. Like, there was just such a time when I would always have headaches. I had to use an ice pack most nights or, like, in the mornings, like, when they were just so bad. And I would be like, oh, it's like... through the back of my head, kind of to my eyes, I don't know. And, like, I realized I was sleeping wrong because it was, like, right when I woke up. And I, like, had my arms, like, I put them over my head. So I think they were, like, tense all night. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I figured that out. So glad they did. And anyways, yeah. But this next one is a little more, like, I think if I were to say one takeaway from this past year is really, like, learning a new level of prayer. And so this is my serious one that I'll take a little more time, but I just think it has been a really good year of prayer. I think I've slowed down and really have learned what it means to actually hear God's voice. And that's something I never really understood for a very long time until I think this year, maybe before this year, but this like season of life, it's really been abundant and really, really good. And I don't know how to boil this down to like a few minute quip on a podcast, but just like praying really, really small details and God being so like quick to respond with response and answered prayer. Hmm. And also learning to really pray bold things too. And like there's so much power and trust in that. And just like I've seen him be so faithful in both those things, those small details or the really big things. And I've just seen like I've just loved God so much through prayer. And I've just seen him be so glorified in it too. I don't know. I'm not speaking this like sharing just like how important this has been to me this past year, but it really has. And I'm so grateful. And it's just been a really good year in that sense.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think like your faith has just been such a, I don't know, inspiration over the past several years, but also this year has been no different. So that's really amazing.
Yeah. So that is my, like, I want to say that one's like, trumps all these other ones. Like, I care a lot more about prayer than Costco.
I know. I was like, I'm kind of surprised you didn't put that at the last one.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I didn't really do these in order. Yeah. I kind of went through my days and, like, wrote them down. And so this is, like, I had a list on my desk, like, as things would come up. I had a list on my phone. And, like, course. I had a list on our podcast planning doc. And so this is just a complete compilation. But also, I realized I probably talked a lot more about Costco than prayer. So it's maybe imbalanced in that sense. But super important. Honestly, would love to share more about that. And maybe someday we do a podcast on this.
Honestly.
Because it would be just really good to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The next one is really the joy of investing in other people's success. And I think just like naturally, this is harder to do than we'd like to admit. And like, it's just something that's like, you don't have to consciously, I feel like you have to consciously decide to more. And just like, when good things happen to other people, like, it's easy to just be like, yay, that's great, and not necessarily be upset about it or rude about it, but just, like, to just find so much joy in that. And I remember, like, when you got your new job, like, our roommate and I, we were just like so happy. And then we went out to celebrate and you didn't even come with. And we were just so happy. And it was just like, we had so much joy through your success and like through that. And like, that was just a really cool day. And that whole story of you getting your job was just so cool. And so like, that was just a huge success. And like, again, like a God working in that moment where it's just like, oh my goodness, that was so amazing. And so that, or just like even the Ragnar, how fun it was to cheer on people and just like to, like the people in our van to be like, oh, you were so nervous about this. And then you just went out and did it. And like, I'm so happy for you. And just, I feel like I got a lot of opportunities to do that this past year. And it's been so fun. And I think it like increased in all the cool things. Like, it's not like I just got a new job. It's like, look at all these people that got new jobs. And I'm so happy for all of them.
Honestly, I think that's something that you mentioned before, but like, it's so much harder to do than we think. And it like just, I don't know, there can be this certain level of like, oh, I can't be as excited for them because for some reason like that detracts from my own like potential. I don't really know what it is, but
I think that's so such a real reality.
Yeah. And I do think though, when you like choose to be excited for someone else, like it's amazing to see like your ability to experience joy like increase, right? Like it's like instead of detracting from your own life or whatever, you just see like so much more.
Yeah.
And I think that's such an incredible thing.
Yeah. And I've also been such a recipient of that. Like there were so many good things this past year, and like to have friends that are genuinely just so happy and excited for you has just been such an abundant blessing. And so I've also been on the receiving end of that. And so I want to point out and say, like, I've been so blessed by people doing that. Natasha, a huge person in that. So it's just been a really good thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This next one is so small. To keep everything, like, to the stuff you keep in your car, to have it in baskets and things so that when you need to quickly take it out, it doesn't take a whole lot of loads. It's quick and easy. And that's what I do. Like, I have a basket of sweatshirts. Like, I have like 7 sweatshirts in my car, and a basket of like grocery bags. And I have a basket or a tub of all work stuff. And in the summer, I have a basket that has like spike ball, a frisbee, kickball, like more just the summer things. And then it's easy to take them out and in if you need to like empty your back car, the back of your car.
I've seen it in action and it is really slick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
That was a quick one. Next is working out is so much easier with accountability, which has been said for decades and decades and decades, but I'm just here to tell you that it's true.
Yeah, you guys have done a really good job.
We've been doing Pilates in the morning for like almost half a year now. And the weeks that I do it with a roommate, the weeks that she's gone, like she's been gone for certain weeks for her schooling. And, like, we decide not to do it. Like, I was like, maybe I'll do it. Never do. And so just here to say that that is true.
Yeah, I think it definitely helps.
Yeah. And number 24.
Drum roll. Just kidding.
It's really, like, again, this was in no order. I think it's great. But is how casual bonfires can be. Like, they don't need to be this, like, elaborate thing. And they can be. Mm-hmm. And we've made them elaborate. And then we've also made them incredibly chill. Where it happens, it's put together in about 2 hours, and just a good bonfire is really fun. And they can be so casual in the fact of, like, it's outside. You don't have to have people in your house, so you don't have to worry about cleaning. And not that I don't think you need necessarily worry about that anyways, but, like, you don't have to worry about how are we going to fit all these people in my house? Where are we going to put all this? Should I pull out chairs? I don't know.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say sometimes building bonfires can be very difficult.
Yeah, I'm not the greatest.
But no, they're always so great and a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like this was a pretty good list, Emma. It's very diverse. All over the place. But also, like, it's a whole year. And how do you pick things, like, from a whole year? I think it's hard to do, but it was a good one.
These are just, like, the first 24 things.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a huge reflection person. So, you know what bugs me, actually, is the fact that before this releases, I'm going to probably come up with 24 more things. Part two. We'll never need another episode.
That's true. We'll just do part two.
It's a bummer our birthdays are so close together.
Yeah.
Because we could just do these left and right.
They are kind of fun.
They are.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll just do them regardless. Mm-hmm. We enjoy doing them.
Yeah. Anyways, so those are my 24 things. 24 is a great number. I just don't know what I'm going to do when I'm not 24. Actually, I'll be totally fine. I'll be totally, totally fine.
It'll be okay.
Yeah, it will be.
25 is great.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite year in your 20s so far?
That's a good question. Either 25 or 23. But
I think it's 24. Completely avoids 24.
No, I like odd numbers better.
I like even numbers better.
I know. My odd years were just more fun.
Here's the thing. When you're in your odd years, I'm in my even years.
I know. So we have the same favorite years.
What? I'm trying to think of what was 20. You're 25 right now. No, well, actually, you're not.
When this comes out, no, but as of recording.
We're recording this, you're 25. Okay, so 25. So the past year of your life might be your favorite year of your 20s or 23. What happened when you were 23?
23 was when I moved to D.C. Okay. And I think there was just like, I just was very much like, I'm making my own decisions. I'm very much in my adult, like, post-college life. And the world is open. Like, it was just so freeing.
Honestly, this totally checks out because 24 and 22 were my favorite, probably. And I think, like, we have the same mutual, because our birthdays are incredibly close, actually. We probably have the same mutual events that happened. Middle year was not our favorite. Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
It's nothing against that year.
Yeah.
Well, what? Actually, it was a horrible year in some ways.
Yeah.
But I will say, yeah. 20 was also like the worst year. 19 was great. 21 was pretty decent. So I don't know. It's just like,
I think the more life you live, the more good and bad there's within it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you guys for listening to 24 things that I feel. Honestly, like, they're so random. And the fact that honestly, people are going to listen to 46 minutes of this is my opinions is so kind of people.
Nah, they're going to enjoy it.
I hope so.
If not, they'll never know why Brecken died.
Oh, my goodness.
If they quit halfway through, it's probably fine. But we're going to go be with him in his final moments.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, guys. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
Brecken might not.
Oh, my gosh.